Hello, basketball gamers. Welcome to episode number 132 of the NLSC podcast. This is the podcast of the future. At least we're past October 23rd, which is Back to the Future Day. Last week, we recorded last week's show the day before and forgot to mention it, but we have a couple of interesting things and funny things to note about that movie and that date. But in any case, I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And yeah, Ben, Back to the Future.
Yeah, 30 years in the making, in the waiting for that in particular day.
And we don't have hoverboards?
No, not to say there are some forms, but nothing quite like what was represented in the movie.
Not what we were promised, no. Yeah. And the Cubs aren't winning the World Series, as I understand it. I don't follow baseball that closely, but
they were in the playoffs.
They were in the playoffs at least, so there is that.
I don't think they made it to next year. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
I do think they got eliminated the other day. I should look that up, but again, not a baseball guy, so that's as much as I care to mention.
It's as boring as cricket.
Yeah, it's a toss up. Toss a coin and hope it doesn't come down. Apologies to anyone who enjoys those sports. You know, they're great athletes and everything there, but not my cup of tea, to be honest. But nevertheless, we are here to talk to you about basketball and basketball games, our favorite subjects, as always, every week. Some interesting things to talk about this week, Ben.
Yeah.
Both the video game front and, of course, the new NBA season tipped off today when we're recording this. This will be coming out the second day of the regular season, the 2016 regular season, but a few games today, which both of us caught some of the action, so we'll talk about that in short order. But first of all, we'll talk about the basketball games, NBA Live 16 and NBA 2K16, and a bit of a rough start for NBA Live 16. We've talked about some of the drawbacks of the game, what's good, what's bad, but it seems that it hasn't sold very well, Ben.
No, which is a fair shame. I mean, the pro-am and the demo and that obviously gave a lot of people opportunity, so I know whether it's a lot of people did enjoy that. You know, obviously, there are a few little issues here and there with it, but yeah, I know. I was expecting a bit more of a improvement in sales considering it was a lot better than previous two releases.
Then be alive 15, yes. The actual number looks to be around about 8,000 in September. Of course, except it came out fairly late in September, depending on how many people pre-ordered it. Of course. Around about 8,000 sales, they reckon, in September, which is fine for an indie game, but not so much for a AAA title.
No. And, you know, there's quite a few million behind it, too.
And especially when NBA 2K16 sold about a million in its first week, if I recall correctly.
Was it 4 million?
Was it 4 million or 1 million? I'm drawing a blank on that one now. But in any case, certainly outsold NBA Live 16. And I guess that's what we'll lead off the discussion with this week. I mean, I've talked about how I think that Live 16 still has a long way to go, both this year with the patches and also in NBA Live 17 and beyond. And as far as I know, EA has the NBA license through NBA Live 17, so there will be at least one more game. I would assume that even with the difficulties that they will renew their license. I would imagine the NBA would still renew their license because it's... they've had a long partnership with EA Sports, but the 8,000 sales definitely below expectations. And you know, as you noted, some of the responses have been more positive this year. The pro-am people seem to like that concept as well. But why do you think that it hasn't sold as well? I mean, the obvious answer people say is, "Oh, NBA Live sucks, and NBA 2K is great, and NBA 2K is great, and NBA Live has had a rough comeback," but you know, for the sake of discussion, let's actually give some reasons beyond it sucks.
Okay.
which I don't think it sucks. I do think it has its problems, but it doesn't. I play terrible games, basketball games, and otherwise, and it's not a game without redeeming value. And one of the things that I thought perhaps it's been brought up in the forum by MP3 in particular, that is not necessarily being the focus on the NBA side of NBA Live this year. I mean, we've got the Pro-Am, which is a cool concept and all, but most people do buy it for the NBA sim.
The NBA experience, yeah.
And, of course, Rising Star's got a few upgrades, but not a whole lot. Dynasty's pretty much the same. And there's been some improvements to the NBA side of the gameplay, but, again, compared to, say, 2K, it's still lagging behind. So do you think that maybe that's one of the main reasons you know, there's not much, not as much work went into the NBA side of things.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair thing. I think a couple other reasons. One is the stigma that most people have about EA as a company.
Sure.
You know, they still have that childish thing, or EA sucks kind of thing, and or if you buy an EA game, then money hungry and all that. I mean, they've done a lot in terms of like I've stated in the previous podcast, like, particularly the last now 2 years, there seems to be a change. You know, they're not charging DLC for everything. Like
they've kept microtransactions to a minimum. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. They've shown some goodwill in terms of showing games at an early stage, and you know, like what they did. Not this year's E3, but the previous one, when they're saying, look, this is what we're working on. This is what we're trying to do and trying to achieve. The beta stuff, the EA early access stuff that they're doing, you know, the, and if you look at what Sean and stuff has done, and just personally in that, where, you know, he's not had the media PR crap going on. You know, he's been open and honest all the time. Obviously, trying at times not giving away too much entirely about the games and that, but you know he's given out details and you know he's been open to the community and all that stuff and what he's trying to deliver with it, yeah. And obviously with being able to test the games and play the games, in these long betas or even trials and all that stuff, you know there's been some goodwill in towards that.
Sure. But of course, the product itself has to deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
And while I do think Live 16 is a step up, you get that initial impression. You see some of the awkward animations still in the paint.
Yeah.
You do see the issues with the gameplay, both in the demo and the full version. Again, improvements, but still room for further improvement. Expectations very high, of course, with the, throughout the previous season and the comparisons to NBA 2K, which has been killing it for years now. In all the stuff that they've been doing. And, of course, 2K has their issues, which is why it's funny people say NBA Live should just go away, because then they start complaining about 2K.
Yeah.
Like, well, do you want an alternative or not? It's it's always, we've talked about that before. But, you know, the bar is set pretty high, and the expectations are high these days. I mean, back in the day, I mean, there's always been complaints about basketball games. We've always wanted to see them get better, but we are less forgiving these days because the technology is capable of so much more with video games. So when it doesn't reach our expectations and when something doesn't look right and doesn't look current gen or next gen or new gen or whatever you want to say, there is that criticism.
That's true. But yeah, I think other things is the lightness of the game in terms of obviously features and that, you know.
Yes, agreed.
Marketing, I don't know, it just doesn't seem to have that strength. Obviously, the two failed launches that they had prior to Live 14 and that really hurt in terms of, people's attitudes towards it. And yeah.
And you touched on it there and before as well. There are people who kind of seem to even want to see it fail, like so they can almost point and laugh, which I wrote an article about that in the Monday tip-off a few weeks ago, and it puzzles me that people who, you know, if you don't want anything to do with NBA Live, that's understandable. If you feel burned by the company, by EA, I understand that too. Fortunately, with basketball games, we don't have the exclusive license, so you can say, well, you know what, I want anything to do with Live, I'll just stick with 2K. But there seems to be a lot of people who really invested in the idea of 2K destroying Live, or when something cool comes out for 2K saying, oh, Live fans be like, and they post the picture of Michael Jordan crying and that meme and everything, and it's kind of like, but 2K just dropped this information for a really cool feature. Why are you worrying about Live? Shouldn't you be saying, man, I want to play that in 2K. What's Live got to do with it? You're more invested in Live's failings than 2K's success, which is a really weird attitude to me, and I think it ties into what you're talking about there, that people have that prejudice against EA and want to see Live fail.
Yeah.
Which definitely plays into the thing as well. But, okay, so we can see why Live hasn't gotten the sales. It's still trying to get its foothold, trying to get some of that market back, trying to get a hook. It may have fallen short with Pro-Am. I still think Pro-Am is a really good idea, but, again, as you said just then, light on the modes, light on the NBA stuff, the Dynasty, Rising Star, that kind of thing. So We're pretty sure there's going to be an NBA Live 17 because, as far as I know, they own the license for at least one more year. Probably will renew it after that. We'll deal with that story when it comes. But for the moment, we can assume there's an NBA Live 17. what must EA do with NBA Live 17 to really turn it around and really move the needle?
Revamp all the traditional modes and stuff, like Dynasty, the career modes, and really give them a far greater depth, expand upon them, add new modes, not just one, with like Pro-Am and that. Yes, expand Pro-Am and find ways to make it more.
Oh yeah, definitely keep it around.
Yeah, because it is a great mode, but yeah, obviously you want to keep something and try and expand upon it every year or so. Like maybe the first 2 years set it to a certain point, and then maybe every second year after that, maybe upgrade it a little bit more if you've got a really good balance with it. And just to sort of not make it entirely dull in that. Bring back things like they used to, obviously with the 90s teams, the 80s teams, 70s, 50s.
Decade All-Stars. Legends playable in some form outside of Ultimate Team.
All-Star mode, All-Star Weekend modes, bring that back.
Definitely.
The custom feature, like in terms of editability for character, was a lot better this year. Still expand upon it a bit more. The face scanning looks to work a lot better than and is easier than 2K's in that sense.
Yep, can definitely vouch for that.
Yeah. What else could they do?
Well, roster editing is one thing as well. Customization. Yeah. We absolutely need that. And I mean, we thought that we were going to get that in Live 16. We really did need it, and that was a big blow. I think a lot of people saw that, and that Dynasty hadn't been upgraded, and thought, well, those are the modes that I want to play.
I'll wait till next year, hopefully.
I'll wait till next year, or I'm giving up on the series. Yeah. That's let's put it out there. I think people are impatient 3 years into the rebuilding project.
Yeah.
For me, I think that you do need to do a lot of the stuff with gameplay. You do need to get rid of those funky, awkward-looking animations.
Yes, revamp the animations entirely. I mean, you still got stuff from, like 2003, 2004 era.
Yeah, there's definitely some NBA Live 06 animations in there that people have identified. And some of the best ones are still okay and serviceable, but the awkward ones, especially in some of those post moves, there's some half hooks and things that look really awkward. They need to go. Animations need to be top-notch. The old ones need to be replaced, phased out, added better quality animations in the paint. Paint game needs to improve, like Own the Paint. We've talked about that before. Needs to be manual control over passes again, whether you want to do a bounce pass, things like that. Manual control over floaters and bank shots, all that kind of stuff. But more deeper controls, basically. Yep. Deeper controls. Collisions are actually better this year, especially with the player movement and the off-ball stuff. That needs to continue to get better, the collisions and the physics.
The animation and momentum side of things.
It is better in Live 16, but still room for improvement.
Yeah, I mean, I found it a lot more accurate compared to previous two releases where, you're trying to go for a layup, but you kind of pull up for a jumper, but still needs that better balance. And again, we talked about it last week's podcast, whether they bring back the second shot button. Previous one before that. Whether they look at that option again.
Definitely at least a modifier so that we can do the bank shots and the runners like in Live 14. That's an absolute must. So expand the controls, improve the paint game, slow the tempo down a bit because it's a little bit arcadey in Live 16. I haven't really played around with the sliders yet as much as I'd like. So there might be some options we can do there, but even so, needs to be tuned a little bit more towards the sim style. Play calling is pretty good, and I love the play calling diagrams, the on-court play calling in Live 16. That was great. Keep enhancing the team strategy. That's actually not too bad. The X's and O's of NBA Live 16 are not too bad. It's just some of the elements with post play and such. So improve the gameplay with the game modes. Absolutely need to make them deeper, as you said. I don't know whether they can add anything new within a year. I think they really need to focus on what they've got at the moment. With Dynasty, it does need to get a lot deeper, especially when you look at what they've done with MyGM and MyLeague in NBA 2K16.
Yeah, exactly.
But what they really need to do with Live is that it's still missing basic functionality in Dynasty mode. For example, you can't edit a player's jersey number. So if you trade for someone and think, oh, that's I don't want a 23 in the Bulls, classic example I'm going to use, of course. If you get that, it's like, well, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
You have to just take whatever number is assigned. If you want to, yeah, if you, so you can't edit jersey numbers. There's no listing of transactions or award winners. There's no historical record screens. So all this basic stuff that was in the game 10 years ago in Dynasty mode isn't there. So first of all, I need to bring a bunch of stuff back right there and then add some new stuff and make it deeper. It's not going to catch up to 2K in a year, but it really needs to make a few leaps and bounds. And the same with Rising Star as well. Really enhance those modes. I totally agree with bringing back All-Star Weekend. I think that would be a better hook than Pro-Am. As much as I like Pro-Am, I think the All-Star Weekend would really be a better hook because that's something that 2K doesn't have.
And because of
And
the, from memory, like one issue was possibly one of the sponsors' names for events and stuff. Well, from memory, that sponsor is no longer the actual sponsor for it, so that can be is not a concern factor anymore.
yeah. And if worst case scenario, if they can at least get the contest into the game, so the dunk contest, call it the EA Sports Dunk Contest. I mean, look, 2K's got great presentation with fictional 2K Sports TV presentation in games. You know, they've got a fictional TV network, for example. I mean, it would be great if 2K could get the TNT just the way EA has got
ESPN.
NBA Live has got ESPN. Sure, but if anyone wants to complain, say they bring back the dunk contest and they have to call it the EA Sports Dunk Contest instead of the Sprite Slam Dunk. Anyone who complains that they don't have the right sponsor name is missing the point if the dunk
Exactly.
contest is one to play. So
That's
I mean,
petty if that was the case.
that would be a most petty of petty criticisms. You know, that they've had to rebrand it something. You know, come on. But the point is, bring it back, the dunk contest, 3-point shootout, All Star Weekend with the great presentation we had in Live 2005 through 09. You know, absolutely. It's something that the Corey mentioned on the post game podcast when I appeared on it and we talked about the history of the NBA Live series is that at one point EA and NBA Live really used to innovate, and at the moment they're trying to play catch up and not really innovating. They are to a certain extent with Pro-Am, but it hasn't been the hook. So I think they really need to focus on the NBA side of things from gameplay and the game modes. Absolutely have to get roster editing in there as well, customization.
Exactly. The commentary as well, I think, needs a little bit more life. It's still kind of dull and flat in spots.
Yeah.
Just the banter sort of between. I mean, yes, 2K's1 has its moments too, where it's a little bit, but it's far greater. It feels more alive and more actually responsive to what's happening in the game and that. Especially in modes like in my career, where it acknowledges stats and attributes and things like that from the previous games and all that stuff,
Yeah,
recognition of that. Bring all that back, or bring all that in, and expand upon it.
because the visuals of the ESPN presentation in NBA Live are pretty good. You know, the way it's set out with the halftime show and everything. I know they don't have on-screen characters. They don't like EA. Sorry, 2K now has the Shaq and Ernie and now Kenny the Jet Smith. They've got them in the studio. EA doesn't have that. That'd be nice to add. Not absolutely necessary. I've got to admit, I kind of skip that a lot as well because I kind of just want to get to the game.
I generally see, like, especially at the end of the player's of the game, I try and skip that. Like, if I know I'm not getting the player, especially the team loses and that. Beginning of the game, sometimes, I'll
Oh well, the game's
continue.
loading. You can't help but watch part of it. So
But when it says continue and all that stuff, where you can continue listening on for
I'm
the
usually
extra minute.
continuing straight away. So EA doesn't need that. It would be nice to have, but certainly with the commentary and everything having a bit more life to it, I certainly agree with that. That the roster editing, game modes, those gameplay enhancements absolutely has to happen for NBA Live 17, and they need a hook. And the hook, I think, would be something like All-Star Weekend, something that 2K can't license or doesn't have. Basically, that would be a hook. And I think Pro-Am was supposed to be the hook this year, and it was a fine idea, but it just hasn't taken off because the rest of the game people want that all around product. So I think that's where it's fallen short. But you know, I think there's a dedicated team there at EA Tiburon, and we'll certainly be sending along our suggestions. And I'm sure they're listening to the feedback and looking at the numbers and saying, "Well, okay, what do we have to do? And what do the fans feel what they want out of the game?" So yeah, hopefully they can do a lot in the next year because there is, I mean, we rattled off a fair few things there what they need to do, but frankly, I think they really need to do them.
Yeah, you know, we've given them, you know, they've talked about, obviously Sean has mentioned about the 3-year plan just to build the foundation, and that, all right, now it's time, now it's time. The foundation is built. Now you need to really, now they really need to, I don't want to say deliver, but they really need to bring all those things that, you know, from the ground up that they're wanting to do and all that stuff. Now it's time to really take a chance and really ante up the game modes and stuff like that now.
To use an NBA simile, they've been improving and building the team and building a foundation of what they want to achieve. Now the goal is playoffs and more wins. It's not just it's not just doing a little bit better each year. Now it's actually okay. We want to start competing. Yeah,
Preseason's done. Time for the
preseason's done. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. But yeah, hopefully they can do it, and hopefully they can take advantage of the feedback that we and I'm sure a lot of people in the community will be. Are willing to offer up. Looking at what NBA Live 17 has to do just then has also reminded me of some of the things that got left out of Live 16. Obviously, roster editing, it looked like we were going to get that, and we haven't. Do you remember they actually said that we'd be able to scan up to five faces in NBA Live 16?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't see where we do that. So I think that's something that fell by the wayside as well.
That's a shame.
Unless there's something I'm missing. I mean, I know you can rescan your face at any time. With the app, so just like you can in 2K, so yeah, that's I mean stuff like that again also hurts goodwill as well. When I mean that does happen that things change between between the beta and the game going gold, but yeah, stuff like that is kind of a shame as well. But we did get sliders. I'm glad they didn't remove sliders because that really would have been a sore point.
I suppose the other thing too that they could bring back is obviously FIBA in the Olympic modes, EuroLeague stuff they were looking at doing, and even integrating those sort of modes into dynasty modes and all that stuff, or even a
Sure.
Rising Star mode. You know, you can, especially with it being an international game and a lot of people buying it outside the US and that, where the player could, you know, represent their own country in those modes, and even in their dynasty mode, you could have on the career modes, you could have the FIBA implementation into it and all that stuff, where, you know, every 4 years or 2 years in it, you know, you have the FIBA or the Olympic competitions and that, and during the off seasons your
Yeah, that'd
player,
be cool.
you know, that's something simple but in a small mode within it, but you know, you get, it's something different and something that people have wanted for a long time. I know that's one thing that I've requested for all, well, since they introduced the FIBA modes and that, I thought, well, this would be a good way to expand upon it, and yeah, and it would also help with story modes. You know, if they had like the EuroLeague stuff, you know, story mode of an international player coming into the league and that,
It's
if they
definitely
ever
an
if
option,
they ever
although I would like to see them avoid the story-driven approach from
Yeah,
2K. Yeah.
again, but this is where you get to sort of drive that story in that sense, where, you know, you could start off from there, you know, you could start off from your own country
Sure.
and then, you know,
Yeah.
try and build up into getting drafted in the NBA. You know, this is if they were ever going to get big enough with like what they do with FIFA and that, where they have basically all the major competitions, soccer competitions in the world in the game. They even have the Australian A-League and all that stuff in it. So, you
Yeah,
know,
they could add some stuff like that, or D League, or even D League, things like that, a hook like that. The other thing that I would put out there is more. I mentioned basic functionality in Dynasty mode, things like the transaction screen and other historical records, things like that. Other stuff like in Ultimate Team, being able to select multiple lineups and being able to change the rotations or the minutes in your Ultimate Team lineups, things like that that are currently missing. You know, they did some stuff like that this year as well with Live 16, but. Just more little things like that on top of, you know, baby steps and getting the modes a bit more expanded would be a great idea.
And continue allowing forms of customization, you know,
We'll see what they've done in my team this year.
whether that be just simply in like a pro-am sort of thing where you get to create your own sort of team league things, I guess, or, you know, just trying to find ways of incorporating it. Yeah, things like that would be good. Just
It's finding a hook and really polishing what they've got. Okay, so we've talked about what we'd like to see from Live 17. I'm sure we'll bring that up again in the coming weeks. I know that's actually what I'm going to be talking about in this week's Friday Five. But to wrap up that discussion, the other question that's been raised is should EA scrap NBA Live and bring back NBA Street, NBA Jam, something like that? What's your response to that?
I'd like to see a street again. I've stated again in previous ones. I'd like to see each alternate, like 1 year have a street, following year have a jam, and whether they have two different teams, so one working on jam, one working on street. So that way, it gives them more time to do greater modes and things like
Oh, yeah.
that. And just so it varies it up and not a once a year kind of thing, like obviously what you have with Live and that, and even to the point where it feels too Assassin's Creed-y, where
Oh,
you get
absolutely.
so
I'd
yeah
like to see a new Street and Jam on the current generation, but not at the expense of NBA Live. I think they should keep going with Live because I think we do need an alternative. As much as I really love 2K as well, and 2K16 is becoming, as I've said, from playing it on PS4, I know the PC version has issues and I need to spend more time with it. But even just playing the PS4 version, feeling that it is becoming one of my favorite games, not just 2K games, but favorite basketball games, period. Not necessarily my favorite just yet, but one of them. I still feel it needs to be an alternative. I still feel there's things that EA does that I like a little bit better than 2K's approach. So I do want that alternative. I think it's best for the basketball gaming community, certainly for my taste as well. So yeah, I completely reject the suggestion that EA should give up on Live. Because here's the thing, if you don't want to play NBA Live, no one's holding a gun to your head.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, EA can keep trying, and if you don't want to give them a chance, stick with 2K. So there's no reason for them to give up just because people don't want to buy. I mean, if absolutely nobody was buying their game, then that might be the time to pull the plug. But as long as they've got the license and they're willing to give it a go, I've likened it before to the Simpsons. People saying the Simpsons not what it was, which is a fair comment when you look at the best of the Simpsons and the current Simpsons. But as long as the writers are willing to put out episodes and some people are willing to watch them, that's if you don't want to watch it, that's cool. Don't
Exactly.
watch,
Exactly.
basically. So, yeah, I would like to see another street game, or and especially I'm more partial to jam than street, so I'd love to see another jam game on the current generation. I'd love to see another one on PC, actually, even if we have to go through Origin to do it.
Well, yeah,
Same with NBA Live.
that would be another thing, for Live to come back to its roots on PC.
Oh yeah, you'll get some people just checking it out. And if it's moddable, then if we can patch it, then definitely that will actually get a few extra sales.
And as we've stated, we as a community can take care of the issues like of if they can't get players' likenesses and stuff, obviously because of rights and stuff, we as a community can do it unofficially, sort of under the table. So not saying for pay and all that, but bypassing all those sort of things, unless the TPP, if I've heard right about some of the gaming section of the laws, then we might have a little bit of trouble with that. So.
Yeah, well, we throw out the suggestions, keep it coming. But like I say, I think we should see an NBA Live 17 and hopefully beyond. And hopefully they can get back on track. We'll do our best to help them in that endeavor. But in the meantime, no, I wouldn't scrap Live in favor of those games. I'd rather see those games in addition to NBA Live. But as we said, the season has tipped off today, and looking at the rosters for both games. Unfortunately, NBA Live 16 hasn't received a roster update yet with the latest transactions with opening night rosters. I'm guessing it'll be coming probably in the next couple of days. Based on what they did last year, I'm guessing it'll be one roster update a week this year. And that does kind of highlight the problems with having no custom rosters in the game. That if people do want to have opening night rosters and share them, we currently can't do that. 2K16 updating their rosters a little more often. They have updated it for opening night, if you want to go and take a look at that and play the games. And of course the NBA Today is being updated as well. And just before we move on to the NBA discussion, I just want to mention there's been a significant modding update for NBA 2K16, or there certainly will be. There's some significant news to share, I should say. TBM posted this in the forum, and it's based on a new tool that Greg K. Waste is developing, or the next version of the Explorer. And basically, it's going to allow us to have a custom art folder for NBA 2K16, because at the moment, you have to use the Explorer to import new textures into the archive files, much the same way way back in the day we used to import the fish files into the VIBs for NBA Live. But now there is going to be. There's no custom art folder by default in NBA 2K16. That'd be a great thing to have in NBA 2K17 PC, incidentally. But this tool will actually replicate that and allow the game to It'd be like a trainer for the game that allows the game to read the loose if files for NBA 2K. So that's a huge jump for 2K modding, because even on the previous generation of 2K, you'd have to overwrite the files in the game folder. You couldn't have that custom folder that the game would read instead of the default files. So that's a really big, significant update when that happens. So if you want to find out the latest information on that, check out the NBA 2K16 releases and previews section of the forum. TBM is keeping us up to date with the latest developments there. And yeah, unfortunately, no roster editor yet, because as I understand it, the roster files, once again, still heavily encrypted and such. But we're working it out. The modding is not dead. And rumors of 2K shutting down modding is, I think, greatly exaggerated, because it seems to be some pointers in the files are making it easier this year to mod and such. So, I know, we've talked before about those conspiracy theories. But yeah, it's great news for the modding community.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it would make things a lot easier for those who are just getting into or looking into getting into modding that for the PC versions and that. So yeah, I think that'll be beneficial.
It's encouraging. And just one final note about the PC version. We noted last week, you corrected me, I was working on outdated information, Ben. But the last week, just as we were recording, you noted that the second patch, title update version 2 for NBA 2K16, had come out on the Xbox One version. For the Xbox One version of the game, the week before it had come out on PS4. We are still waiting for it for PC. No ETA on that as yet, but it will have some more tweaks and hotfixes for the PC-specific issues. And we'll also have all the cross-platform updates as well. I know a few people are getting restless in the forum, certainly understand the frustration, but I would like to put it out there that it's not something to take out on Leftos, who has been doing a fantastic job providing support in the forum and doing all he can, but also working on the game. I don't think it's for a lack of caring or effort that the patch has been delayed. It's just one of those things, and looks like there might be some encouraging news on the Steam page, as mentioned, it being in QA and such. So hopefully soon, but we'll try and keep you up to date on all that, and hopefully it will resolve some of the problems with the PC version of NBA 2K16 optimization and such.
And it goes by any luck that we've had in previous podcasts. It releases like half hour after we finish recording this.
Well, you know what? If we make a prediction and it goes the opposite way, you know, why not use those powers for good and predict that it'll come out next week, so it comes out tomorrow. So I've already jinxed someone with my predictions last week in the Friday Five, so we'll get to that shortly. But yes, no PC patch for the moment. We have had a couple of hot fixes, but at least when we're recording this, we are still waiting for it, but hopefully soon. So that just about wraps up the gaming discussion for this week. We'll have more to discuss in the weeks to come as we continue to play NBA Live 16 and NBA 2K16. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, the 2016 NBA season has tipped off. So we're back in action, Ben.
Yes, we are.
Or we're not, but the league we like to watch is back in action, if nothing else.
Which is really good. I really been missing the season and that. Felt like it took forever to get here.
Well, it's another slow off season. Everything happened early on, and then we're just waiting around for the preseason and the season to tip off. So we didn't have much to talk about for a while there. But the season did tip off with three games today. The Cavaliers at the Bulls, the Pelicans at the Warriors, and the Pistons at the Hawks. You can join in the daily predictions thread in the forum, of course. I was 2 of 3 on my predictions today, Ben.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I missed out on the Hawks and the Pistons. The Pistons won, so I'm sure Leftos is happy about that. Hi, Leftos.
Hi, Leftos. Seriously.
But before we get into the games, should mention some sad news. We've been talking, of course, about Lamar Odom, and that's been a tough situation, but another sad situation, I should say, that unfortunately hasn't had a happy ending or a positive outcome. Flip Saunders, the longtime coach of the Timberwolves and involved with the Timberwolves organization, and has also coached the Pistons and the Wizards, sadly lost his battle with the Hodgkin's lymphoma. He'd been given seemed to be a promising prognosis, but unfortunately there were complications and he did pass away, age of 60. And condolences to his family and rest in peace, Flip. It was great, not the right word, but it was nice and to see the teams paying tribute to him. I was watching the games on League Pass today and seeing that around NBA arenas, it looks like they're all having a moment, observing a moment of silence for Flip Saunders and paying some tribute to him all around the league. So that's it's classy. I think that shows one of the. It's a tragic thing, of course. Young man, still fairly young at 60, you know.
Yeah.
to have lost a battle with cancer and everything, but it's one of those nice things in sports that how there's the sense of community and how they can come together and they all pay tribute. I mean, there's fierce battles and there's trash talk and everything, but when something like this happens, you know, there's a lot of class and dignity, and it's really great to see in the wake of such a unfortunate in news.
Agreed.
And certainly was a everyone's talked about what a fine man he was. Obviously, we didn't know him personally, but from all accounts, great guy, and certainly had a lot of success. A very respectable man of success. And you remember those early Timberwolves teams, early playoffs Timberwolves teams?
Yep.
And certainly had a good run with the a young Kevin Garnett who posted a touching tribute to Flip Saunders on his Facebook page, sitting down in the car park. Did you see that?
Yeah, so that was a nice little tribute.
Yeah. So rest in peace, Flip, and I'm sure the tributes will be coming throughout the season. I know the Timberwolves are wearing that that patch on their jerseys in remembrance of him. So that's again to be expected, considering his involvement with the organization. And Sam Mitchell will naturally continue as interim coach in the interim. But moving on to the I guess again the more positive news coming out of the week. Season has tipped off 3 games, as we said. I watched 2 of them today, starting with my beloved Bulls taking on the Cavs, and we won. I say we. I did very little except watch and
cheer
at the
and swear and grit.
Accused Timofey Mozgov of flopping, and it totally was a flop too. But they almost blew the game. They did let it slide a little bit. The offense looks pretty good, I have to say. Fred Hoiberg's changing the offensive culture with the Bulls, and it seems to be paying off. A lot of the, even though the shots weren't falling sometimes, they were fairly good-looking attempts. Rose was aggressive. He looked like he might have tweaked his ankle, and of course, whenever Rose comes up limping, the whole place groans and everyone watching.
Well, Chicago just gasps.
That's right, but you can hear it around the world, yeah. The gasping. But fortunately, he came back. He left the game short for briefly, then came back on and was quite aggressive in the second half and was looking healthy. Unfortunately, Noah might have gone out with a possible knee injury. So Rose probably looking at him thinking, well, it wasn't me this time. also, damn, because Noah played pretty well off the bench. But the offense looked good. It was great to see movement. I mean, you take for granted as a Bulls fan back in the 90s how easy it was for the Bulls to score with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen out there, and obviously they have no Jordan and Pippen these days. But seeing them, the offense looking a bit freer and the ball movement looking so good and the off-ball movement looking better, defensive effort was still there, and they made a couple of great defensive plays to end the game with LeBron being blocked by Gasol and then Jimmy Butler making that interception and knocking the ball away to preserve the win. Yeah, not a bad way to start the season, I have to say.
I only got to catch the last 3.4 seconds, so it was basically that inbound play, I'm guessing, and it was right off the block.
You saw the game-winning stuff.
Yeah. And I admit, it was a terrible pass by Mo Williams, and I think it was Charles Barkley that said that you shouldn't have your point or your small man inbounding the ball. You should have had, like, a big man inbounding it, so that way they can actually see over the defender and that, which is a good point and something that
I didn't catch that, but yeah, it is a valid point for sure.
Yeah, don't get your little man to inbound the player because they can't see our defender when they're jumping around. So, yeah, that was kind of a bad. Well, yeah, it was a bad play, and they should have. Even, I don't know, did they have a timeout left or they had used them all? I can't remember.
They might have used their last timeout.
Okay. Because, yeah, it was getting close to that 5-second mark. And
Yeah, I thought they were going to force a 5-second violation. So, yeah. Nevertheless, great effort by Jimmy Buckets. And actually, yeah, Mirotic, it was great to see him just knocking down some threes and everything. So I'm feeling good about the year if they can stay healthy. And that's the big if in Chicago these last 4 or 5 years. So we'll see. But that was a nice way to start the season, and I quite enjoyed watching that. We both caught the Warriors and Pelicans game, and that was a bit more of a high-scoring affair compared to the Bulls and Cavs game, which, I mean, 97 and 95 is not too low-scoring, but it was a bit more grinded out.
Yep.
The go off to a flying start with Stephen Curry scoring 24 points in the first quarter.
Oh yeah, that was quick fire and was entertaining, that's for sure.
And I think it ended up. Well, they definitely scored over 30 in the first quarter. Slowed down a bit in the second half, but
finished with
Curry. Curry continued to knock it down all game. He ended up with 40 points, which is the. Let me just check myself on this. It's the most by a reigning MVP on opening night.
Yep, that is correct.
So that's a pretty hot start to last for the season for Stephen Curry, NBA champion and last year's regular season MVP. And the Warriors, of course, picked up the win. Got a little bit ugly in the fourth quarter. You and I were watching the game and talking about it, chatting about it. And yeah, it wasn't quite as pretty down the stretch.
No, but you know.
You get that.
Yeah, it's everyone's going to be rusty. And you know, the first bit of the game, you're running on adrenaline and excitement, especially for the Warriors, obviously getting their rings and the banner hang up after winning the championship. So, you know, there was a lot of that sort of adrenaline flow going on and all that stuff. So as the game would have worn off, the lactic acids and stuff kicking in and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Sure. Andrew Bogut putting the ring on his middle finger.
Yeah. I was waiting to see if he did that. And yeah, I pointed out to you that he'd done it, so he stuck to his word, so he could, so he could show what he thinks.
Aussie attitude, of course, coming through again.
So he could definitely show what he thought to all the haters and the doubters. He could express it quite visually in two ways.
And he had a pretty decent game, had 12 points on 6-for-6 shooting, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Only played 18 minutes, actually, he kind of headbutted Maurice Spates in the back of the head, I think it was.
Yeah.
And managed to, not intentionally headbutt it, but ran in and clashed heads. And despite wearing the face mask, he'd already broken his nose in the last game of the preseason, but he actually got busted open pretty hard, blood pouring from the forehead. So he had to leave the game. So he only played the 18 minutes, but the Warriors still got the win behind Curry's 40 points, of course.
And if it was, was it Spate? Because I know he was getting examined for concussion because of the head injury. So.
Spate. Spate is his teammate. Who did he clash heads with on? Was it Kendrick Perkins or was it might have been?
No, it wasn't Perkins either.
It wasn't a teammate, was it?
It was definitely a Warriors player.
It was a Pelicans player who.
Sorry.
That's right. Yeah. Not Spates. I'm drawing. I can't remember who it was, but
he was.
It might have been Kendrick Perkins or Dante Cunningham.
I think it was Cunningham. Yeah, Cunningham because he had a headband on.
Yeah, so it was a tough blow to the back of the head, and unfortunately busted him open. But the Warriors still prevailed. Anthony Davis. See, this is where I have to take some responsibility because I mentioned in last week's Friday Five that I think he'll be MVP this year. So naturally, he came out and shot 4 of 20. In the first game and really looked out of sorts offensively. In fact, the first play they ran for him was a corner three, which was weird.
Yeah. Well, he has been given the green light to be able to take the three in that, and obviously...
They might need to pull the orange light on that one now.
Yeah.
Might need to be thinking about the red light, but he took a couple of threes, didn't make either of them, was taking a lot of shots outside the key, and even when he was getting to the lane, putting up some wild shots. And Davis is a fantastic player. As we noted last week, he's the player that people are looking to build around, if you ask the GMs, starting a new franchise.
A lot of cases, number one pick in a lot of fantasy drafts and that. So
yeah,
that sort of hurt a little bit today with that field goal percentage and that. So,
I said it to you but when we were talking about it during the game, but do you think he was trying to do a little bit too much? I mean, I saw him handling the ball a lot and almost trying to be a point forward, and he can handle the ball, but... I kind of thought that he was, I don't know, to put a basketball video game analogy, it's kind of like the person in Pro-Am who's just trying to do everything, you know, get the inbound pass and run the whole club and take all the shots and everything. It felt like he was just trying to do a bit too much, in my view.
Yeah, well, I think so. And I mean, it doesn't help that the Pelicans were down to only 9 men and all that.
Yeah, certainly.
But, you know, there's...
Know your role kind of thing, even if you are a star. So.
Yeah. Obviously, new system, new coach. Gentry's a great coach, so and a very respectful person. Like, yeah, I've seen his mannerisms and stuff like that. Someone that I respect as a coach. But yeah, I think they're trying to make him into a LaMarcus Aldridge sort of dirt kind of player, but he is one more that is... suited for that low post area and that for his shots.
Yeah,
I don't see him going past 8 feet from the basket, really. And I think that's where they need to keep him.
I mean, by all means, experiment, but he certainly looked a bit out of sorts. And like you say, rust is a factor, excitement jacked up for a new season, everything, want to get out there and make an impact, but didn't seem to be picking his spots particularly well.
No. But, you know, it's first.
And I jinxed him on top of everything else, so that didn't.
Yeah.
That doesn't help at all.
It's all your fault.
it's my fault. Sorry, everyone. Sorry, Brow. Not sorry, bro. Sorry, Brow.
People were asking, you know, Tristan Thompson's worth that 82 mil, or now is Anthony Davis worth that 145 mil?
Yeah.
it's first game of the season. You're going up at a defending champs, and they're already on a high from the ring ceremony. Your team's down to 9 men already. And you got to back up tomorrow with another game, so today in this case with the podcast, when this will be released. So I don't know, we'll see how it goes, whether they sort of stick with that game plan or whether they go, all right, go over back with what you know best, which will make more sense. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll end up having a pretty good season. Whether he's MVP or not will depend on just how it pans out and I guess how the Pelicans, how they work out as well. But some good NBA action to start off the day. And tomorrow on ESPN Australia, we have the Spurs and the Thunder. That should be a good one as well. So that's the first on the ESPN's 2015 tip-off. So that'll be a good one to catch. So 14 games tomorrow, 28 teams in action and getting in the books. And a lot of teams, like I say, everyone's... Everyone's 0-0 at the moment, except for three teams that are 1-0. There are three others that are 0-1, and my team won, so I'm pretty happy with that. Getting back to the Cavs real quick, with LeBron, obviously best player in the league and everything, but you didn't catch all of the game, but through a lot of the game, when he was out of the game, he was actually lying down on the floor, so it looks like his back might still be giving him some trouble, which is kind of not a good sign this early in the season.
No, game one. So... I know whether we'll see them monitor his minutes a bit for a little while will be interesting to see.
I have heard that they're looking to do the 30 to 35 minutes for him, and because he's had a couple of injections in the last 6 months, I think they said. So it's certainly not.
That's a fair amount of injections. It's a short amount. It'd be
for a young man of 30.
Yeah,
putting that out there. Because I'm a couple of months older than LeBron, so. and far less wealthy, and far less talented. But that's beside the point.
I don't know if you can administrate a site as good as you. So you got something over him.
That's right. But his skills pay a little more.
Yeah.
So I might have to yield this one to King James, I should say.
He went this round.
There was a what did they have in the. That they had Kevin Harlan had a really good line because, of course, Fred Hoiberg is nicknamed as the mayor, and President Barack Obama was at the Bulls Cavs game as well. So Kevin Harlan had some remark about we've got a mayor, a king, and a president at the game. So. And the other thing we should notice about the Cavs is they finally, just almost at the 11th hour, got the extension. They re-signed Tristan Thompson to a 5-year, $82 million deal. The thing we should note is that the salary is just going up and up. So $82 million these days is kind of what they were paying. It's almost like a $60 million contract, you know, even just 5-6 years ago,
yeah,
or 10 years ago. That having said that, overpaid or just the way it goes these days?
Overpaid. I know LeBron, because his agency and all that stuff, we get a bit of a cut of that, but still overpaid.
I do think it's at least slightly overpaid. I mean, we've seen a lot of role players get really big deals this offseason, so I think it's kind of the way it's blowing that the salaries are just going up and up and up. But yeah, for the for someone who's going to come off the bench primarily, it's
and to get rebounds, just the occasional rebound and that,
and some garbage buckets. Yeah,
yep.
But I mean, if they win the championship, it's money well spent, isn't it? It's winning kind of erases all other criticisms.
Yeah,
so we shall see. We shall see. They haven't won yet, but it has only been one game. But it was a bull, so I'm just going to keep rubbing it in. But yeah, lots of great NBA action to come, and looking forward to another season watching it on League Pass broadband and trying to catch as many games as possible.
I'll be trying to watch as many games as possible. Hopefully more than last season. I didn't get to watch as many as I want to, so
well, if nothing else, NBA Australia is looks like they're going to stream a free game every week again. So if they get their streaming works as well as League Pass broadband, then there's at least that option.
Good, good. Well, yeah, I will look into that one as well.
So we'll be talking about that all season long, just as we talk about and produce content for NBA Live 16 and NBA 2K16. But that's probably about it for the opening night. Lots more games to come tomorrow, so we'll be covering the first week of action in next week's podcast, episode number 133. But before we wrap up episode number 132, we mentioned at the top of the show that this is a podcast in the future, or at least beyond the date that was given in Back to the Future Part 2, October 23rd, 2015. We're now beyond that. We talk about hoverboards, which we don't quite have. But we do, or will have, self-lacing Nikes.
Yes. That was... Even in a charity form, which they'll be in. But they'll be there, which is really cool. And they do exist. Tinker and Nike did deliver on that, so that's awesome.
Yeah, so basically the Michael J. Fox Foundation, which raises money and awareness for Parkinson's disease, which he is afflicted with, sadly, will be auctioned off to benefit the his foundation. And he's already debuted some of them. He's shown them on Jimmy Kimmel. Did you see the sketch on Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah,
when he came out with Christopher Lloyd. That was pretty cool.
That was good. And it kind of takes a piss out of our reality in a
society.
Sense.
Yeah. we're in a great Scott. We're in a terrible alternate future.
And
Kimmel takes a selfie with them. And yeah. That's what we do now. So.
Well, on the toilet. That's disgusting.
Yeah. But he did show off the self-lacing Nikes, and they do look like they're made just like they were in the movies, in Back to the Future Part 2, I should say. But it's cool to see something from something defictionalized basically in coming out, and I think the NBA is going to be involved. Have you heard about that one?
Yes. What I'll mention is I was actually just going to look to bring that up because was it a day or two before the season started? Obviously, we know Nike is taking over the NBA contract in a few seasons and that. And Mark Parker, the CEO of Nike, actually gave a speech at the National Basketball Association owners, or to the National Basketball Association owners, and laid out the plans for their gear and their technology and that they're looking to implement. And this includes body monitors and Back to the Future style self-lacing sneakers. Nike is planning to use sensors and computing power to control body temperature to get the perfect fit, said one of the people who were at this thing, but wanted to remain unidentified because it was a private talk. Let's see. Just trying to see if there's any more information. The company also plans to rely heavily on innovation to hit the forecast. And recently announced, obviously they got a new advanced creation center, innovation center, which will also help speed up processing and delivering and stuff of product. So using those advancements and stuff to help bring a better technology to the apparel and the footwear that they're looking at introducing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool advancements, really.
Yeah,
but
and if
it's no hoverboard though. It's no hoverboard. I'll have to.
Well, that's on Mattel, isn't it? So
yeah.
And look, if they can do some of this cool stuff and not. Like, when Adidas took over the contract and that, the authentic jerseys went from, this is retail price in the US, went from $250 to $350 for what we saw with the Revolution 30 stuff. If they can keep it at that price and have something that's actually got real technology in it and not be more than $350 for an authentic thing, that'll be all right. I think that'll help them be able to actually justify that price tag more than what the Rev 30 stuff has done.
Sure.
Especially with the teething issues that the Rev 30 product had, where names and numbers were falling off and just the quality of it wasn't looking as up to scratch, where you're seeing uniforms ripped really easy. So,
and let's not forget extra material for those wonderful sleeves.
Oh, yes, so. Yes. So, yeah, there's if they have that kind of stuff in it, that justifies $350 if that's the price that they're looking at keeping it. If then I'd like to see the prices come down a bit, because I think $350 for a singlet is excessive. So yeah, I mean, yes, you have the swingman market, but still, the swingman's only replicate so far is the authentic look in that. So yeah, I mean, I want to see what they do, and what price point they keep it at. But so far, even from just that slight little tidbit, it sounds like there's more technology involved than what Adidas really brought to the table over the last 11 years. So yeah.
Well, all that Adidas has brought me is the pain of seeing Derrick Rose go down year after year. So, you know I'm a Nike fanboy,
Yep.
but do you think you'll have enough to bid on some of those self-lacing sneakers?
Man, I freaking hope so. I really want a pair. I really do. I'm really hoping that they do have a mainstream like release in that one day. Whether that be in 2017, whether it's until further improvement in the technology and
To make it a bit more affordable for
yeah, exactly.
the home market,
Yeah, because right now those shoes would probably retail anywhere for about 500, $600 it probably. Depending on obviously how many they make as well. That'll if they make what they did like in the 2011 auction where they made it 1,500 pairs, say they do about the same, that'll probably keep it at about the 600 mark. If they did it quite a few hundred or even a few thousand more, that'll obviously bring it down closer to the 500 mark or 450 mark.
Oh, well, some of them will end up on eBay, so you can get that along with your copy of NBA Elite 11. So,
That's true.
with all the disposable income we have,
Oh
yeah.
yep.
So,
But yeah, I'd really love to get a pair. And if
I would too, but I've got a feeling that it's not going to be within my budget.
yeah,
So,
and I don't.
besides, we're already looking to do the 20-year NLSC meetup next year, so.
That's true. And well, you could always buy a pair and then sell them on eBay to be able to afford doing hangovers.
Flip them for even more, yeah,
Yep,
I suppose.
that reseller price. So, and, but yeah, I really do hope that they do become a mainstream item within the next couple of years. It'd just be awesome. Because
While it would defeat the purpose, just before we wrap up, if they released ones that weren't self-lacing but were just like replicas of the
like what they
style,
did in 2011.
yeah, would you get some of those,
Yeah,
like if they were cheaper?
because and I'd still get two pairs, one to rock and one to dead stock, as the saying goes. And,
Yeah.
that yeah, it'd be awesome just to have and see them sort of come to life and all that stuff. So yeah.
As I understand it, they'll be able to let you play on the court just as well as Teen Wolf. So.
Well, actually, a guy who bought the 2011 pair did actually wear them on the court just as a scrimmage pair and all that. I was like, so I've seen someone wear them, like photos of someone wearing them, which was pretty crazy.
Yeah, but unless you do that Teen Wolf dunk, I mean, that's.
Yeah. True,
You don't want to pay too much for that.
that's true.
But no, that's. I thought that'd be a fun note to end on. As I said last week, it only occurred to me after we finished recording that it was going to that we were recording the day before Back to the Future Day, putting that out. So,
And yeah, again, it was shortly right after we finished recording that there was confirmed that there was a pair out.
that's right,
So
of course.
yeah, I think it was within the an hour or so just after we'd finished it.
I'd say so. So I mean, I'm looking forward to finding out what we. I'm looking to find out what the fantastic news that we're going to get tomorrow,
Yeah.
Can't wait. But yes, that does bring us to the end of another episode of the NLSC podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we invite you to subscribe to us on iTunes or keep streaming it on the NLSC, of course. As long as you're tuning in and enjoying what we have to say, then we're pretty happy about that. Also, connect with us on social media. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/theNLSC. Follow us on Twitter at the NLSC and keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com. As we said, lots more discussion of the NBA season and content for NBA Live 16 and NBA 2K16. But that will do it for episode number 132 of the NLSC podcast. I am Andrew.
I'm Arcane, and I'm hoping that even if we can't get the mags in real life, can we get them please scanned into Live and 2K?
We'll get the app for it.
Yeah.
See you next week.
See ya.